Before you can live, a part of you has to die. You have to let go of what could have been, how you should have acted, and what you wish you would have said differently. You have to accept that you can't change the past experiences, the opinions of others at that moment in time, or outcomes from their choices or yours. When you finally recognize that truth, then you will understand the true meaning of forgiveness of yourself and of others. From this point, you will finally be free. And this week's opening quote comes from Shannon L. Adler. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, back into the land of the living, folks. I've been off air for pretty well all of October. I only did one show in October, and here it is November before I'm back on air. I did intend to be back on air on the 21st of October, but when I came back to Australia, I actually felt quite ill from travelling. I think the last 10 months of travelling and hanging in the jungle have just kind of caught up to me. And it was a very, very long trip home from South America. It took 56 hours to get home, folks, which is rather abnormal for that trip. There were some very long stopovers in Santiago and in Lima, and it was a very, very exhausting journey. And when I got home, I just kind of collapsed into a heap and spent about 10 days in bed. I lost a lot of weight, which was not good because I really don't have a lot to lose, but I'm on the up and up now, and so I'm able to come back on air and have a bit of a chat to you. So I am sorry about the delay. I did get back to the microphone as quickly as I was able, but it just has been a very, very trying few weeks. Actually, a very trying year, folks. The last year has been rather exhausting. One of the biggest years of my life, I think, as far as traveling and just event-wise, it certainly has been a very exhausting year, and it certainly has taken a little bit of a toll on me. So it's time for me to kind of kick back a little bit and get my health back on track. And that's what I intend to do for the next few months. But I will be coming here and speaking to you as well as working on the new films that I want to work on. Hopefully I'll have a little bit of assistance soon, and so that's going to greatly help with the workflow and at least free up a little bit of time for me to concentrate on my health and to concentrate on the films and see what we can get achieved by January or February. At which point I'll of course be going back on the road again. I've got to speak in Mexico in February, the Acapulco conference, and then I'll be speaking in Hawaii in March, and I believe I'll also be back at the Free Your Mind conference in April in Philadelphia. I have some talks to do possibly in New York and LA during April, and one also in Ohio in May. So it'll be good to get all of that done. I don't know whether I've got a UK trip coming up in May or not, but that's also a possibility. And it looks like I might also be speaking at the Palestinian University in Lebanon in May or June next year. So the first half of next year is certainly taken up with a bit of traveling, but that might be the last year that I'm traveling for a while, I think, folks. I think 2017 is going to be the last year that I kind of put myself out there and do too many miles. After that, I might take a break from traveling for a year or two. I think it would be the best thing to do. But getting on with the show, the world has certainly been changing. Well, not really. It's just been going down the same path that we expected to go down. But things really have been escalating in the last month while I've been away. Of course, the new president is going to be elected on Monday, and I think that's going to be interesting. Of course, I'm sure we are all expecting that we know who it's going to be. I would suggest that the new president has already been selected and that they are going to put Hillary Clinton in place. I don't think anyone's going to really vote for her that much, but I don't think it will make that much difference unless the votes are way, way too offset and they can't get away with rigging it so Hillary gets in, and perhaps they do have to put Trump in, but who knows, maybe we will see some style of Kennedy-type assassination if that happens. Or maybe something untoward will happen with Russia in the next few days and the election won't even go ahead, who knows. But we are in for some interesting times, folks. Whatever the outcome of next week is, it is certainly going to be interesting to say the least. I mean, this has been an election like no other. And Hillary Clinton, folks, I mean, it's just unreal that this woman is running. I mean, here's a woman who's actually under investigation by the FBI at the moment, a woman who deleted all those emails, now responsible for the debacle at Benghazi. She's basically the woman who single-handedly destroyed Libya and Syria. She's been financing ISIS terrorists, funneling weapons and money into them. Everybody around her who's going to testify against her or say anything bad about her seems to suddenly die. And it's just incredible that this woman is even allowed to run as a candidate. And so that would indicate that, well, she's the one that they're going to put in place. I mean, there's so much dirt on this woman now that there's no way she should even be there campaigning. So the fact that she's allowed to do that would indicate that they're just not going to hold back at all. They're just going to put this woman in place. Like I said, maybe the votes will be way too offset. Maybe it will be way too obvious and they will have to put Trump in. But then, you know, something will probably happen to Mr. Trump. And I'd say that it will all eventually lead to the same direction, which will be the police state that they want to introduce. And they'll just figure out whatever means they can to introduce it. I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if we saw Donald Trump get elected and then we saw Hillary Clinton put in place as perhaps his vice president or the secretary of state or something like that? I mean, wouldn't that be ironic, folks? And really nothing would surprise me at this point. But the whole world has gone crazy anyway, folks, so it's not really a wonder. I mean, you look what's going on in Germany, look what's going on in England, look what's going on in France. Look at the UN now. Look at the Human Rights Council and the UN. I actually did a show about this on Press TV the other day. What a little interview about it anyway. I mean, honestly, could the UN be any more of a joke? Could it have displayed itself publicly as any more of a puppet show than what it's done by its most recent actions? I mean, seriously. You got the worst nations in the world carrying out the worst human rights abuses in the world, and these are the people who have been appointed to run the Human Rights Watch. And then the Human Rights Watch Council comes out and says, oh, look, we need to have a talk to these Arab nations, and they need to implement some sanity and stop carrying out all these human rights abuses, but they're talking about themselves. These are the very nations that are carrying out all of these human rights abuses, and they're telling themselves that they need to contain themselves a little bit. It's absolute theatre, folks. It really is. I mean, this is like placing the Ku Klux Klan as the head of Black Deaths in Custody investigations. You got Russia voted out, not allowed to be on the Human Rights Council simply because it's been destroying terrorists in Syria, which are all, again, paid for by Hillary Clinton, and all the other US and Israeli sources that are in there stirring up this mess in Syria, which is not a civil war, folks. It's a covert invasion. It has been from day one. Everybody who's died in Syria has died unnecessarily, simply so Obama and the Zionists who control him and the Jesuits who control them can implement the situation that they want and bring about regime change in Syria. It's not about freeing anybody from terrorists. It's not about defeating terrorists. It's not about helping the people. It's about destroying the country until the president decides he should leave or killing him in the process. They don't want Assad there because Assad will not capitulate to Western interests, and that's what they want. They need the country for Greater Israel, and that's the way it's going to be, and they're just using any means they can to wipe the place out. And again, it's Israel behind it all, folks. But again, behind Israel, I mean, Israel's a mechanism that's used by higher forces. Zionism is a mechanism that is used by higher forces. It's all theatre for the masses, folks. But what we're seeing in the Middle East is most certainly the Greater Israel Project and the destruction of Europe via mass migration, according to the Jewish Kalergi plan that was penned around about 1928. And that's what we're seeing unfold in the Middle East. But again, getting back to the US election, here we have Hillary Clinton, who's highly instrumental in all of this carnage and all of this chaos that's happening. I mean, all of the destruction of Europe through mass migration wouldn't be possible if Hillary Clinton hadn't gone in there and destroyed Libya and destroyed Syria and is doing all the stuff she's doing. So why is this woman even allowed to run for president? That's the question. And that should show people what a joke it is and what a farce the entire US political system is. But again, even looking at this, folks, you know, when we're looking at this whole New World Order situation and we're looking at everything that's coming down the pike, there seems to be a general consensus in the independent media to simply attack the West and blame the West for all of the problems, when a lot of that is theater as well, folks, because all of these countries work together. I mean, Putin's doing a lot of good stuff. Sure, Russia's doing a lot of good stuff, but don't think Putin isn't a player, and don't think Russia isn't doing exactly what Russia is required to do to bring this whole mess about and to bring about the future that the ruling parasites would like to create. Now, the danger that we have in the independent media of constantly attacking the West is that we bring about massive instability in our own governments, and then countries such as Russia and China simply move in and clean up the mess. And trust me, you do not want to have the Chinese system come to your country. This is not something that anybody can escape from. This is not something where you can reason with your government or mount protests. They simply shoot you. So we don't want that type of system. We don't want the type of system that the Saudis are attempting to bring in, where they can label anybody who's an atheist as being a terrorist, which is what they've recently done. Again, this is the head of the Human Rights Council, folks, and they're saying anybody who doesn't believe in their God is a terrorist and it should be executed. There's one guy who's been sentenced to 10 years jail and 2,000 lashes simply for being an atheist. That's very progressive, isn't it, from the head of the Human Rights Council? And this is the type of attitude that you see from these monarchies in these Gulf states, most especially Saudi Arabia, which is perhaps the most abominable regime on the entire planet. Pure terrorism from the government. I mean, this is one of the only countries in the world that's named after the ruling family. The ruling family, of course, are Zionists who were put in place by Western interests when the real king of Saudi Arabia was deposed because he wouldn't capitulate to the West. And so basically, this is why Saudi Arabia at the moment capitulates to Israel so much, because the head family, the Saudi family, are in fact a Zionist Jewish family that was put in place by the West to appear as the Arab dictators that they are. And they also present a very, very abominable version of Islam to the world, where they're taking Sharia law to the most ridiculous extreme, caning women because they stand too close to their boyfriends, cutting off heads and hands and killing people and doing the most terrible and disgraceful things to people. Situations where if you criticize the government, you face the possibility of getting crucified and beheaded. And they call this Islam, when really it isn't. It's Wahhabism, which is all created by the West and created by Jewish interests in order to create the vilification of Islam to bring about the war against East and West, which the Jews want to bring about so they can watch the Christians and the Muslims destroy themselves, so they can just basically sit at the top of the pile in Greater Israel. And that's the way it's all going, and it's all running perfectly well and according to plan, folks. So it's really important to actually step back and look at this and watch how you are being played and how your opinions are being played. And really search and see what your opinion is on things and ask yourself, is it really your opinion or is just the opinion that has been programmed into you? Because when you look at things a little deeper, folks, you find that all the world is a stage and everybody is being played without exception, folks. It's all theatre. And it's interesting, folks, you know, even for saying things like the thing that I just said, when I said that what we see in Saudi Arabia is Wahhabism, which is a perversion of Islam, which has been created by the West, even by saying that, I get accused of being an apologist for Islam, as if I'm actually Islamic. Someone actually accused me of being Muslim the other day, folks. Some idiot actually posted on one of my YouTube clips, "Nice Muslim beard, Max," as if apparently having a beard makes one a Muslim these days. That is the new standard, apparently, folks. I'm sure that Zach Wilde, the guitar player from Ozzy Osbourne's band, and Rob Zombie will be most interested to know that they've been categorized as Muslim simply because they have a beard, and I think someone should probably send a note to the boys in ZZ Top as well. But that's what it's become, folks. And let me try to make this perfectly clear, folks. I believe all religion is demented. I simply don't do religion. I mean, I have a great relationship with God already, and I certainly do not need religion to get in the way. And it's perhaps because I don't do religion that I'm able to sit back and objectively look at the religions. And what I see in Islam is the fact that there has been a false version of Islam, which has been created by Judaism. Those Jewish interests which control the Western world have created this fake version of Islam, which they are using to turn the Christians against real Islam, which is nothing to do with the Wahhabism that we see in Saudi Arabia, which has been created by Jewish interests. The Jews have done this in order to bring about the war against East and West, so that the Muslims and the Christians will destroy each other, and then they can sit at the top of the pile and kind of lend money to all the people who want to rebuild. You notice it's always Jewish interests that are saying the Christians need to stand up against Islam, but the Jews never do it, do they? They never fight any of the wars that they implement, that they instigate, that they encourage others to fight. They never fight them. They just sit back and lend money to both sides and reap the rewards. And that's what's happening, folks. The war against Islam, which is what the war on terror is a war that's been created. It's perception war. It's a war that's been created to turn the Christians and the Muslims against each other and have these two factions destroy each other. And as I said, folks, you'll notice that the Jews never participate in these wars. I mean, they appear to on the surface because they're sitting at home, of course, always battling this terrible Muslim menace at their doorstep. But that Muslim menace does not exist. That Muslim menace is created because of what they've done to Palestine. They've created a situation where the people in Palestine are basically living in a concentration camp. And they have their little Mossad agents over there that send a rocket over to the wall now and then and send off the odd explosion now and then so that Israel gets to go in there and completely demoralize and terrorize these people. They flow sewage through the streets. They let pigs loose to rampage through their crops. They keep the people in Gaza in a concentration camp. And they set up the Israeli Offense Force, the Israeli Occupation Army, and they call it the Israeli Defense Force, so they can present the concept to the world that they're actually there in the thick of things, defending themselves, defending the only democracy that stands there as a bastion of freedom in the Middle East, which is completely and utterly fabricated. It is not a democracy. It's an apartheid state. It is not a bastion of freedom. It's in there to create instability, and it uses the Palestinians as the theater that it needs to present the concept to the world that Israel is actually battling on the front line of this war on terror, when it's not. It's not doing anything of the sort. It's terrorizing Arabs, terrorizing Palestinian people, and it's created all of the terrorism and created the entire fake war of terror itself. That's what's going on, folks. It's all theater for the masses, and everything that you hear about Israel is presented to the world precisely backwards. But the war on terror is completely fake, folks. It's completely and utterly contrived. It's simply a war of Muslim against Christian, when neither of the factions involved are actually practicing their faith, and it's really all about depopulation and instability and creating order out of chaos. That's what this whole thing's about, folks. And no, I'm not an apologist for Islam. I think all religion is demented. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to speak on Press TV and offer my opinion on anywhere that I can get that opinion out, because I think it's important that people hear the truth. And accusing someone of being a Muslim because they have a beard, this really does take stupidity to an entirely new level, folks. But that is how programmed people have actually become. And I think I might grow my beard a little longer now. But anyway, I digress. But things certainly are going forward in leaps and bounds, folks. The microchip agenda is going forth here in Australia. They're pushing it into the minds of the people, introducing little school tests like, let's say you were employed by the president to be the head of microchip research. What sort of a paper would you produce to convince people that they need a microchip? I think these sorts of tests are coming in right across the board in all sorts of countries, folks, in all sorts of states, just slipping them in there behind the scenes while the parents aren't looking, and creating the question in such a way and the assignment in such a way as that there is no choice or no question as to whether microchips are beneficial. The question is, how would you convince people to get these things? Not should you question whether they should get them, or should we discuss the pros and cons of being microchipped, just simply what methodology would you use to convince the public that they need these things? And folks, you don't need to be microchipped. Nobody needs to be microchipped, most especially when we have governments as criminal as the governments that we currently have that are running the show. Being microchipped by these people would be extremely dangerous. But this is going out. It's being ramped up and rolled out and put into the minds of the people. And of course, they are targeting the school children first, because that's where people are most susceptible to these sorts of things. And they do it while the parents aren't looking. They can get away with doing it at school. The parents don't see anything about it in their newspapers. And unless they're really discussing their child's education with their children, then they just don't find out about these things. But very often you'll find that things that are happening at school, the schools are probably telling the people and the kids that they shouldn't really be discussing these things with their parents anyway, because their parents are way behind the times and they're doing things much better in the education system now. And of course, the parents wouldn't understand anyway, so why bother informing them? That's just the way they kind of present things to the kids, and that's the way they like them to think. But of course, while all this is happening, there is a huge awakening happening as well. All you've got to do is go to some of the news sites and start reading some of the comments that you see with some of the stories. Some of the stories are just blatant propaganda. We have a British Member of Parliament, for example, saying that Russia needs to stop acting aggressively, and Russia isn't acting aggressively at all. NATO has been acting aggressively towards Russia for many years, moving NATO borders closer to Russia and really pushing Russia into the point that it has to respond. And this, of course, is the Western way. They push people to the point they have to respond, and then they accuse them of acting aggressively. It's the passive-aggressive approach that the West always takes when dealing with people. But we're seeing comments on stories like this by the public, which are just tearing these stories to pieces. And it's happening right across the board, folks. Doesn't matter what story that you see put out in the mainstream, there are so many comments there attacking these stories and spreading the truth about what's really going on with situations such as what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Yemen, what's going on with the Saudis. I mean, there's so many things out there now that are being really attacked by activists who are going out there and opening blogs and posting comments on all of these news articles. And that's a very good thing to see. And it's a very good indication of how wide the awakening actually is. You know, people are seeing the need to speak out now, folks, and they're just doing it because what other choice do they have? I mean, why wouldn't you speak out, you know? Once you discover your power, why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you express yourself? And what are you afraid of? You're afraid of the government hurting you? Well, the government's already hurting you, and if you look at where they're going, they intend to hurt you a lot more and your children, and they intend to make this a very uncomfortable world to live in. So what's the option? Why would you not speak out? Why would you not speak your mind? And that's the thing, though, folks. People are remembering who and what they are now. People are seeing the writing on the wall, and they're seeing the need to stand up against it and the need to say something. People realize that they can't be complacent anymore. They can't just ignore it anymore. They can't just sit around and pretend it's not happening, because it is. And that all that really exists on the world is people. It's just people making ideas up and putting rules in place to control other people. And we don't have to do that, folks. We don't have to let other people exercise any type of right of ownership over us. We can see the writing on the wall now, and we realize that the only way the humankind is ever going to experience freedom is if we stand up and claim it for ourselves. Sure, it might get a little rough, but that's just what has to be done, folks. It's going to get rough anyway, and it's far better to stand up now while you have the opportunity to do so and you have the support around you to do so, rather than wait until the people are cowed anymore. But I don't think the people are being cowed. I don't think they're allowing themselves to be cowed. People aren't scared anymore. They're not scared of being called anti-Semitic if they speak out against Israel. They're not scared of being called a dissident by their government. They're not scared of being labeled whatever simply for speaking out. They are seeing the need to do so. And you can see how much the governments are freaking out about it all as well, folks. I mean, the propaganda is rampant all over the internet, but that is being attacked by activists, and people simply are not scared of what the government is attempting to do to them. People simply aren't buying into the microchip agenda. People aren't buying into all this digital control grid. They're simply not doing it. I mean, some people are in the cities just because of the convenience factor. But most people are seeing it for what it is, and most people are speaking out against it, and that's a very good thing. So don't lose hope, folks. I mean, sure, you need to get yourself some safe ground somewhere. You need to have a backup plan, because things are getting pretty ugly, and it's just advisable to have a backup plan. You need to have some safe ground to get to. But by the same token, you don't want to be running away, and you don't want to be running scared, because there's really nothing to be scared about. There's a lot to be concerned about, but there's nothing to be afraid of, because I think the awakening is exponential, and we're going to see more and more people that you would never have expected to be speaking out. We're going to see them speaking out now. You're going to see people making noise and creating memes and just questioning things because now is the time for them to do so, and people are simply seeing the writing on the wall. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn, folks, and things have really gotten tense in the last couple of years. The whole movement, the resistance, has become very convoluted and very divided, but even that has been kind of good in a way because it's separated the wheat from the chaff. Now we know who the real activists are. Now we know what action needs to be taken, and we know that that action has to come from the ground. It has to come from the people. And regardless of the division of the response and regardless of the mishmash that much of the independent media has become, we are still seeing some bright light shining, and we are seeing the way forward now becoming clearer to more and more people. And again, it lies in action on the ground that people undertake themselves. It lies in wakening your neighbours via your own action, by leading by example in what you do, being a shining light in your community, helping those around you, and standing up against the system, asking the right questions in the right way, and doing it in front of enough people. This really does make a difference. And we're seeing more and more people getting involved because they have to now. There's no other way out. People are seeing that there's not going to be anybody come and save them. I mean, this election in the United States has really shown a lot of people just how much of a joke the whole thing is. And people are seeing the need to be counted and make a difference themselves. And that's a very good thing. And we're going to see more and more of it, folks, as more and more people come online, more and more people open their minds a little bit and realize that they actually do have value. Now, that's the thing about this system, folks. It's attempted to remove everybody's value of themselves. People really don't see themselves as anything worthwhile. They don't believe that they can make a difference. They think that they're just a little person. But people are beginning to realize that that's what the world is comprised of, folks. A whole bunch of little persons who all believe they can't make a difference. But when you put that all together, well, they can make a difference. And everything that is affecting us now is the creation of an idea of a little person anyway that just put that idea into motion. And people are realizing that they can now do the same thing. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. So I'll have to leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, look, a lot of what we see in the world today really is about energy exchange. It's about energy harvesting. Everything that the government is doing to the people is about controlling the energy of the people, controlling the energetic state that they're in, controlling the emotional state that they're in. And it's done through the news. It's done through constant pressure that they put on people. You know, people look at the news and they think the world is all terrible, and the news is so contrived on the mainstream sources. I mean, on television and in the newspaper, it's so contrived. You never really get the full details of anything. And the news on television is more presented as informative entertainment, when really it's misinformative entertainment, and it's used to control public perception and to shape public opinion. And it's usually very fear-based, with a lot of sport and a few feel-good stories at the end, but never anything of any real substance that actually lets you know what's going on. It's just fear, fear, fear. And then, of course, the government turns up the screws financially on the population. They keep the population running ever faster on the treadmill so that they're always worried about paying the bills, always worried about keeping a roof over their heads. Even if they own their house, they never really own it. They have to continue to pay for it until the day they die. It's interesting that, isn't it, folks? I mean, people don't really look at that. I mean, you buy a house and then you're required to work for your entire life and save up enough money so that you can continue to live there after you're retired from work. And then you're allowed to have a little bit of life to enjoy. Of course, they want to raise the retirement age from 60 to up to like 73 or something now. So they don't really want people retiring. They want people working their entire lives just to gather the money that they need to have a few short years of enjoyment in the stability of a home that they believe they own. But it never really works out that way, folks. You never own your home because you are constantly paying for it, and you can't own a piece of the earth anyway. When you buy a home, I mean, all you really do is tie yourself to that spot, and you have to continue paying for it for the rest of your life. And this, again, adds to the whole fear mentality. It adds to the entire convoluted emotional state that humankind generally finds itself in. And it starts at a very early age, folks. Of course, there's all the fear that's injected into the minds of the students at school. You know, the fear of not passing your exams, the fear of living up to peer group pressure. There is simply no thinking outside of the box that's allowed, folks. And that's the problem. You know, if you're a creative person and you enter into the college system or the university system and you are one who wishes to express yourself and wishes to show that you can think and you do have something to offer, then you are trained very much to think back within the box, and you are taught that you must obey what is written in the books and you must respect what is written in the books. And of course, sometimes what is written in the books may conflict with what you think and you may have something more to offer, but of course you're not allowed to. And if you are a creative person, this creates a huge schism in the minds of the people, because they become in a state where they are in fear of thinking outside of the box, even though they know that things are different to what they're being told. And in fact, they tell you this is what the higher education system is all about, folks. In the very name of the institutions that you go to obtain higher education, i.e. a university. And what does the word really mean? University. One verse, the universal way of thinking. There is only one way of thinking, and it is our way, and you must learn our way of thinking. And really, it's all about fear-based mind control and instilling an unquestioning respect for authority into people. There's no thinking outside of the box allowed. This is very much a part of the education system. In fact, it's the main basis of the education system, is instilling fear into people and a respect for authority into people. It's very much about causing people to think that difference is a threat, and that people who are different and who think differently should be regarded with a little bit of fear. And so therefore you don't want to think too differently, because otherwise you will be ostracized by your peers. You won't be part of the crowd. You won't be part of the group, and people will look at you as if you're a little bit weird. And with the fear of terrorism that is now coming into play, the fear that anybody who dissents against the government is a potential suicide bomber is very much in the minds of the people as well. And this is all very contrived, folks, and it's all about controlling the masses and controlling the people. This is the way they've done it with the digital control grid they're attempting to bring in as well. This is done through fear, the fear that terrorists may be using money transfers or whatever, you know, the way that you can be hacked or your account can be accessed and all your money can be stolen, so the only way to have it safe is to have a microchip in your body. All of this sort of stuff, folks. This is all fear-based mind control, the entire thing. And the peacock seems to agree with me out in the yard as well. So that's always a good sign, folks, when the animals chirp in and let you know that they agree. But it's really all about fear-based mind control, the entire thing. And a lot of it in the minds of the general public is a fear of being themselves, a fear of really knowing who and what they are and exercising that power. I mean, I've spoken about this many times, and again, the peacock agrees with that as well. They really are wonderful birds, aren't they? They make very silly sounds, though. But, folks, a lot of it is people's fear of really knowing themselves. I mean, a lot of people can't believe that they actually are powerful, you know. They start to discover these things about themselves. They start to think, well, hang on, I actually do have value. I actually do have worth. And then they kind of can't believe it. They can't believe how powerful they really are. And they get a little timid in attempting to exercise this power. They get a little bit afraid to actually speak up and to be someone who people might look towards, or, you know, someone that might have a voice, because that's what happens when you speak out, folks, is that people look in your direction. And that scares a lot of people. You know, unfortunately, most people's greatest fear is public speaking. And just by getting up and asking a question at a council meeting or something, to them, this is public speaking, because there are others there who can hear what they're saying. So it becomes a little bit scary for a lot of people, and they become quite timid in the power that they have. And it's very interesting, but it's all fear-based mind control, folks. You know, your belief that you shouldn't speak out, your belief that there's something wrong with people listening to you or people looking at you, or, you know, the fact that because you're going to be a tall poppy, you might get hacked down, or you're going to be the nail that's sticking up, that they come and bang you on the head. I mean, there's all of these sorts of fears that people have, and they're scared of saying the wrong thing. I mean, what if I get up there and I say something silly? What if I get up there and people laugh at me? What if I get up there and I just can't get the words out? These are the sorts of things that go through people's minds, and they're afraid to simply stand up and be themselves, and that's what they need to do. But more and more people are discovering this, I think. That's why we're seeing so many people becoming active on blogs and so many people that are willing to question the system now. And that's a very good thing. But again, it comes down to self-discovery, and what is causing people to do it and what is allowing people to do it is the fact that they are now starting to get control of the energetic state that they're in. They're starting to see how they're being manipulated energetically, and that this whole thing has always been about energy control and energy harvesting. But once you discover yourself, folks, you don't need to harvest energy from other people. You can get it directly from source, from your creator, whatever you perceive your creator to be. But there is a beautiful, vibrant, energetic source of all that exists in this universe, and you can call it whatever you want, but it's there and it's conscious, and you can access it simply by knowing it's there and knowing what you are truly made of. You know, it's all about energy, folks, and ultimately that's what you're made of as well. Ultimately, the entire universe is simply energy. Different forms of energy, if you take it down to a quantum level, reduce it down to phonons and photons, it's all just light and sound. That really is something that fascinates me endlessly about reality, folks, just thinking about the true energetic nature of the universe, thinking about the fact that it's all about energy flow, it's all about energy exchange and energy interaction. That's the whole basis of this reality. Everything that involves itself with anything else or interacts with anything else, it's all an energetic exchange. We perceive these energies as emotion. Emotion gives us the ability to be able to manipulate these energies, but it also gives us the ability to be manipulated by emotional energies and by different energy frequencies that we're bombarded with. Human beings are very complex creatures, folks. The ability to think and the power of sentience gives us remarkable opportunities and remarkable potential, but it also creates a greater vulnerability to imbalance and a greater vulnerability to emotional and energetic control and manipulation. And that's very much what we see in the world today, is energetic manipulation. As I said, it's done through the education system, it's done by government, and it's most especially done by the media. The media is so irresponsible, or so responsible for the problems that we face. I mean, the failure of the media to present the facts to people, the failure of the media to indulge in any type of objective journalism or bring the truth or to really ask the hard questions, it's just a miserable failure, folks. I mean, we have a media as a watchdog of government. I mean, that is really the purpose of the media, to inform the people of what's going on in the world and to be a watchdog for government, to let the people know when people in government are doing the wrong thing and to question these people, to bring it all to public attention so that everybody is questioning these people, so that people know what's going on. But we just don't get that from the media. The media ceased to indulge in any form of real journalism many years ago, folks. All it does now is function as a propaganda mechanism which brings you the government lie. I mean, the government has legislated and put in laws to gag the media and to control the media, to control what's said in the media, to control what stories can and cannot be reported. They've enacted legislation to protect themselves from any type of prosecution. And it's just a complete charade, folks. It's an absolute joke. The media does not inform the people. The media simply tells the people what the government wants the people to hear. And the media is hugely responsible for the situations that we see in the world today. All of these wars, all these unnecessary wars, all these illegal wars, the absolutely horrendous actions that our governments are carrying out around the world, all of these things are not only covered up by the media, but supported by the media and promoted to the people as being the opposite of what they are. You know, the war in Syria is a fine example, folks. It's presented to Western people as a popular uprising, and the West just simply has to go in to help the people who want to be free from their dictator. But really, that's not what it is at all. It's a covert invasion using a terrorist army that was created in Libya with the overthrow of Libya, they sent them straight across the border into Syria and got them to start creating havoc in that country in order to bring about regime change. Same as really what happened in Iraq, same as what's happened in Afghanistan, same as what's happened in Libya. They've just destroyed all of these countries, folks, and they've done it all under false pretenses. The whole lot has been a war crime. The war on terror itself is a war crime from the ground up, always has been. Began by a false flag operation and has been covert invasions ever since. And it's absolutely disgraceful. The amount of people that have been killed by the West under the guise of protecting the world from terrorism, when really it is the West carrying out the worst terrorism that we've ever seen. But again, if that wasn't bad enough, then what enables it to happen, what allows it to continue, is the misreporting that we see by elements within the mainstream media, well, virtually all the mainstream media, none of which produces anything of substance, and none of whom present the facts, the real facts of what's going on in the world, none of whom indulge in real journalism, and none of whom bring the truth to the people anymore. All mainstream media outlets simply function as the propaganda arm of government. And that's a very sad situation. And it's a situation which is very largely responsible for the state of the world today. The failure of the media to report the facts, the failure of them to actually do their job. You know, every mainstream media personality, virtually a lot of them, could all be seen as guilty of war crimes as well, folks, because all of them are promoting war propaganda. And war propaganda is one of the most serious war crimes you can commit, because without propaganda of war, none of the other crimes down the line can take place. None of the atrocities, none of the genocide, none of the illicit bombings, none of the drone strikes, none of the killing of civilians, none of this can happen if it isn't promoted by the mainstream media as being something different to what it actually is. And that is a very, very serious war crime, folks, because, as I said, it is the crime which enables all of the other crimes to go unnoticed and to continue. You know, when you look at all of this, folks, you look at all the things I've talked about on the show today, you've got to really step back and wonder why we allow ourselves to be so controlled, why we allow ourselves to be so manipulated energetically. You know, perhaps it is people's failure to understand the true energetic nature of the universe and what emotions are, to really feel the energies that they have within them. You know, when you have an emotional state, when you have some sort of a breakdown, or when you get angry, when you get sad, when you get happy, you can feel these things as tangible physical energies in your body. You can literally feel the energy in the room sometimes. If you walk into a happy room or an angry room or a sad room, you can feel the energy in the room. And it's understanding these energies and how we're manipulated by these energies, which is a really big part of it. You know, when you get involved in the legal system, when you get involved in the court system, or all of the forms and documents they ask you to fill out, it's the energy that it sets up within you that is the problem. You know, if you've ever been asked to go and fill in a big form or to write a big application for something, the energetic feeling that you get just by doing that is a very, very strange feeling. It's a very convoluted feeling. It's very unnatural. You know, you're asking for permission to do something that you should just be able to go and do. And maybe that's what sets it up. Maybe it's the forms. Maybe it's the boxes. Maybe it's the language. Maybe it's the whole thing. But it's really interesting when you can look at it energetically and look at the situations you're being involved in and becoming involved in energetically. Look at them all from a different perspective, and don't just see them as a physical interaction or a particular task you're performing, but look at the energetic relationship between you and the environment and the people that you're interacting with. Sometimes it may not be people. Sometimes it may just be the environment. Maybe it's the form you're filling out or whatever, the application that you're involved in. But just look at it energetically, and when you really begin to see how it works, you have to ask the question, why do we allow ourselves to be so manipulated and so energetically controlled? And why do we always go down the pathways that they provide for us when we attempt to deal with this situation? You know, like, why do we fill in the forms? Why do we do all these procedures that they ask us to do rather than simply asking the right questions? Because I guess people are again afraid of public speaking. They're afraid of actually having their voice heard because they're scared of the power that they really have within them. They're scared of exercising that power because of the fear of being ostracized for doing so. That's the thing, folks. We police our own thoughts because we're scared of what other people will think of us, and we're scared of the way the system may react or other people may react to what we might say. And, you know, if you're speaking the truth, sometimes it's very shocking for a lot of people. But it's an interesting thing to look at it energetically. And I think that if people can learn to look at it energetically, then they can learn to overcome these fears. They can learn to see how it's energetic manipulation, essentially, that is causing the problem. You know, it's their belief in someone else's idea of their reality and what their reality is and what they should be and how they should behave. And really, it's not up to them. It's up to you. But you've got to know yourself to do it. And I just think if you can look at the world energetically and look at the universe and understand it energetically, and understand the energetic nature of your emotions and understand this energetic language that you're speaking all the time, I think it really does make a difference to how you can deal with certain situations. And look, by saying this, I'm not saying that you have to maintain this perfect stance and pretend you're Gandhi or act like a guru or something like that. I mean, it's not about that, folks. And I'm sure Gandhi got just as angry and swore just as much as everybody else in private. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about expressing your emotions. And don't be afraid to express your emotions, because I think it's our tendency to bottle up our emotions which causes so many of the problems as well. And we bottle up these energies rather than letting them flow, because these emotions and these energetic responses we have happen for a reason. Sometimes it's due to programming, but sometimes it's very well justified. And you have to learn to embrace your emotions and understand where they're coming from and what sort of an emotion they're actually rooted in, whether it's an emotion of fear or whether it's an emotion of love, because there's only really those two extremes. But both of those extremes can cause outbursts of anger. They can cause outbursts of emotion. So you shouldn't be afraid of ever expressing your emotions, folks. You just shouldn't. It's part of who you are, and you shouldn't be afraid of embracing your emotions and seeing them for what they are and seeing the usefulness that they can provide in your life, the learning that they can give you in your life, and the mechanism of expression that they can also provide if you learn to embrace them but control them and use them in the right way. And that's really another part of the control mechanism, which is so insidious that's been instilled into the minds of people, folks, is the need for people to suppress their emotions. Like, you go to the United States, almost everybody's got an analyst because they need to go to someone to ask them why they're feeling the things that they feel. And really, it's about just expressing your emotions, folks, and understanding what they are. But we're taught that if you have any emotional response to anything, then it's a disorder and you need counseling. And this is just patently ridiculous, folks, but that's just what's been instilled into people's minds. They're scared of their emotions. They're scared of having feelings. They're scared of thinking outside of the box, you know. We're entering into a very, very gray area of mental capacity, if you can put it that way, just a world where everything is painted gray, kind of like the movie Equilibrium that came out, where everything was painted gray and emotions weren't allowed, and everyone had to stop and take their anti-emotional tablet at some certain time of the day. I mean, this is kind of where we're heading, folks, and this is what the whole psychiatric system and the mental health system is about. It's about suppressing emotions. A lot of the kids that are diagnosed as ADD and stuff, these are just kids that are born into this world and they're going, well, my God, something's terribly wrong here. And they're expressing that. And so they're being diagnosed as having some sort of illness and they're being medically castrated so that they can't think any differently to what society wants them to think. And it's very dangerous. And it's a huge part of the control grid, folks. So don't be afraid of emotions. Don't be afraid of expressing your emotions. Now, if we don't have emotions and we don't react to things, the failure to express any emotions is what allows the situation in Syria to continue. The situation in Yemen is what allows what's going on in Palestine to continue. People's inability to really look at it and their nonchalant attitude when they do, they just look at it and go, oh, well, it's a problem that's always been going on. They can't attach any emotional response to it. And people should look at this and they should be emotional about it. They should be angry about what is going on in the world. Look at what our governments are doing. I mean, how can people look at this and not be angry? How can the people of Australia know that the Australian government is providing air support for ISIS and Al-Qaeda and our Nusra Front terrorists who are overrunning Syria and not be emotional about it? How can the people of this country who are paying taxes to this government, who know those taxes are going to kill children in Syria, not be angry about it? How can they not show an emotional response? How can they not see all the people held in refugee camps and held in these detention centres around Australia and not have an emotional response to it? I mean, it's ridiculous, folks, but that's what our society's become. Our emotions have been squashed and suppressed. We're taught that emotion is a bad thing. We shouldn't express any emotion, we shouldn't think outside of the box, and we should never ever question authority. And that's a huge part of the problem. You know, that sort of an attitude has created the very world that we live in. So again, you've got to wonder, why do we allow ourselves to be so energetically controlled and energetically manipulated? And until we can get over that little hump of that energetic control and that failure to respect and express our emotions, then we're never going to get anywhere. Because when you look at the world today, folks, you should be angry. Everybody should be angry. Everybody should be angry to some degree. And I'm not saying get violent with that anger, but at least channel that anger into something positive. Because if you're not angry, then you're simply not paying attention. And frankly, it has come to that. You know, I honestly don't know how anybody could not be angry with their government. I don't know how anybody could not be angry with the mainstream media for the utter failure that these people have had in bringing the truth to the world and healing the situation that we're in, because that's who could do it, folks. The mainstream media controls the mindset of the general public, and those people could heal this situation by simply reporting the truth and reporting the facts to the people. And how can anybody see that and not be angry about it? How can anybody be living in a state of debt slavery, which is the way we live, and not be angry about it, not be concerned about it? How can anybody see the future that's unfolding for our children and not be angry about it? How can you see the destruction of groundwater through fracking and the brutality of the police and everything that we're getting from this system, folks? How can people look at it and not be angry? You know, the problem is that they're scared of anger. They're scared of expressing their emotions because they're scared of thinking outside of the box, and they see anger as something negative. But anger born from love is not negative. Anger born from love is very powerful. Anger born from love can change the world. But you've got to get angry, folks. You've got to get mad. You've got to look at what's going on, and you've got to want to do something about it. Because you can sit there and be lovey-dovey and keep yourself in the right energetic state all you want, but really, most of the time, these people are just in a state of fear. They're in a state of ever expressing their true emotions. They're in a state of ever really looking at anything negative for the fear of what emotion that may spark within themselves. And that is no way to be enlightened. It's no way to deal with the problem. You know, we've got a problem here, and we do have to deal with it, and we've got every opportunity to do so. I think more and more people are waking up to that, and I think there are more and more people standing up. But it really is time for people to make a stand in their own community, folks. The time is now. It can be done properly, it can be done peacefully, but it has to be done. And it's up to each of us to do it. But look, folks, I think we're at the end of the show here, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's a pleasure to be back on the air speaking to you again. I will be back on next week, and I'll be trying to stay on until at least February, where I have to go traveling again. But it has been a pleasure to come back to you. Thank you to everybody who's continued to support the Crow House. Thank you to everybody who subscribes to the Patreon account. That is all that keeps me going, folks. It really is. So I desperately do need your support for the Patreon account. It's the only thing that's keeping the shows on the air, and it's the only thing that's keeping a roof over my head at the moment. So very much appreciation to everybody who is supporting that Patreon account. Much love to you all. But I must go now, folks. This is the end of the show. We're completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. And don't think that you don't have any power, folks, because you do. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.